And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Our lesson is taken from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. It's one of the longest chapters in the New Testament. 71 verses. And in this one chapter, Jesus demonstrates how to lose a congregation. John begins out with the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus has the congregation in the palm of his hand. What a feeding. They were ready to rally and do all sorts of great things. And they tried to force him to be king, but he wouldn't have any part of that. And then he goes on to dampen their enthusiasm by scolding them. He said, "You do not seek me because you saw signs of the kingdom, but because I fed your hungry stomachs." Not a very pastoral response, but there it is. And then he goes on to say, "Let me tell you about the kingdom." Funny you should ask. "Let me tell you about the kingdom. I am the bread of life." And he used that "I am" phrase that God used back in the Hebrew Bible to say, "I am that I am." And so Jesus is saying, "I am the bread of life." God is the bread of life. Yahweh is the bread of life. "Feed on me, follow me." Feed on me, he's saying, live the way I'm teaching you. Follow me, and you'll never be hungry or thirsty. Well, as usual, people started complaining. Just like we all do. They said, "I don't know. That's kind of tough. That's kind of hard to do." And the Greek word there doesn't mean they didn't understand it. The Greek word means that that's too hard. You're demanding too much. And so he started losing his congregation. Till finally in verse 66, Jesus turns around to what's left, the remaining 12, and says, "Are you going to go away also?" And of course they said, no, because you have the bread of life. You have the answers. And so Jesus was a victim of rejection. And it was only going to get worse because Isaiah foretold that he would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He would come to his own and his own would not receive him. He wouldn't even have a place to lay his head. And he died practically alone on the cross. Rejection is a really painful experience, isn't it? Really painful. Comes in a variety of forms and faces. Domestic violence, spousal abuse we read about, people verbally and physically harming each other, generations reject each other, adults reject our younger generation because we don't understand them. Some even imagine that they're rejected by God, which is absurd, of course, but they feel that way. We have, in the culture wars of our times, a mark of loss of civility. People are too often rejected because of race and gender and age and sexuality and economic and social class. And people go to all sorts of lengths to deal with this rejection. We have an entire counterculture of gangs and cults and dress codes and languages and ethical behavior that spawned by a fear of rejection. Rejection by peers and rejection by society. I love the story of the woman who got to be 102 years old. And they said, are there any benefits from living to be such a ripe old age? And she said, yes, there's an absence of peer pressure. Rejection is usually a result of anger that it's turned on ourselves or turned on others. And there's a destructive chain reaction to that rejection that moves from self-pity, nobody wants me, to sour grapes, I don't want anybody else. And then it goes into bitterness and vengeance and destructiveness, as we read about in Aurora, Colorado. Rejection. Well, in all of this bad news, what's the good news? The good news is that we have tools in our Christian life to deal with rejection that we feel, whether it's real or imagined. And that main tool is that when we call the grace of God unmerited favor, unmerited love, that's exactly what it is. But that's really hard to internalize. It's very hard for me to internalize unmerited favor, unmerited love, because I always kind of love with strings attached. God loves us with no strings attached, no matter what we do. We may feel we deserve to be excluded or rejected, but we are accepted and included in God's love. He never rejects us. God is not capricious. He doesn't love us one day and not the next. Perhaps the paradigm that is most important and most stands out most in our minds is the prodigal of the parable son. The parable of the prodigal son. Where this son comes back to the father thinking that he's going to be rejected. But there's the father with open arms and brings him back into the fold. And that's the image that God has, with arms open, ready to bring us back into the fold when we stray off on our little trips. And we come back into the fold. We tend to get a little self-righteous sometimes. One day, a very self-righteous Christian came up to someone else, a man he knew, and said, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And the guy said, yes, I am. But I leak. We all leak. That's the reason we come back here Sunday after Sunday. And that's the reason we seek each other out when we have problems. We leak and we need someone to help us refill our tanks, so to speak. Our faith also claims that God calls us into community where we accept each other, we love each other. That's one of the things that attracted me to St. Catherine's Church. It's the love that we share together in Christ Jesus. A neighboring church has a mission statement that says, we agree to differ, we resolve to love, and we unite to serve. I want to close with a little story. You know, I love stories. And this good news for all of us who've experienced rejection, and I think all of us have at one point in our lives, one way or the other. It was a pleasant day, and the family went out for a Sunday afternoon drive. Now, before I go on with the story, I want to go on record in saying that I hate Sunday afternoon drives. Because back when I was a child, we had a 1937 Pontiac, and my dad worked all week, 6 days a week, and they liked to go out on Sunday afternoon drives. And it would be hot, like a day today, and we had no air conditioning, of course. And I would be in the back seat, nauseated, hot, disgusted, and they were enjoying the drive. Well, that's another story. But this family was out on a Sunday afternoon drive, and they were going down the road. All of a sudden, the children said, "Daddy, Daddy, stop, stop, stop. There's a kitten by the side of the road. We need to pick it up." Father said, "I'm not stopping for a kitten." "But Daddy, if we don't stop and pick it up, it's going to die." "Let it die," he said. And the children said, "Mommy, I never thought our daddy could be so mean and cruel." And as wives tend to do, she turned to her husband and said, "Dear, I think we should turn around and go back." And so he did, grumbling and complaining, and turned around and went back. And he said to the kids, "Stay in the car." And he went over to the little kitten and started to reach and pick it up. And it hissed and had its claws out. And it was mangy and dirty and flea bitten. And he picked it up and took it to the car and put it in a box. He said, "Don't touch it." And so they went back home in silence. And when they arrived, the children gave the kitten a bath and a lot of warm milk. And they said, "Can we let it stay in the house tonight? Tomorrow we'll fix a place in the garage." And the father said, "Oh, sure. Keep it in the house. Put it in my bedroom. Put it in my bed." And so they fixed a comfortable bed for the little kitten. And of course, it never went to the garage. It stayed in the house. And several weeks later, then one day, the father walks in and feels something rub against his leg, and he looks down, and there's the cat. And so he looked around to see if anybody was watching him, and he reached down to pet the cat. And instead of hissing and baring its claws, it arched its back for the caress. Was that the same cat? It was the same body, but it was not the same cat. And you know why? Because love had come into this cat's life and had transformed it into a new creature. And that's what happens to us, beloved. Christ comes into our life, God comes into our life and transforms us. As Paul said, you're no longer the old creature you once were. You're a new creation. Long ago, there was another man who stretched out his hands to us to bless us and to lift us up. And he did for us what those children and the family did for the cat. He lifted us up. For all of us who are refugees by the side of the road, he pulled us up into the love of God. And he said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace." And then he said, "I'm the bread of life. Come and be filled." Amen.